Each one of us here today, or at some point in our life, we had someone to nurture and care for us, someone who spent endless hours of the day and night to make sure that we all were well taken care of. This is the time of year when our calendars remind us of our mothers. Although many of us do not have living parents today, but the memory of our parents still remains. For those who have living parents, no doubt this coming Sunday, tomorrow, you will be contacting those by phone or even paying them a visit. You will probably take them out to some nice restaurant, hopefully, with greeting cards and flowers and so forth. And this is fine, because our mothers are important. They are important to God. And I think sometimes we overlook this important point. But God was so concerned about the mothers that he placed them in one of his Ten Commandments. The fifth commandment is dedicated mostly to our parents. That's what it says. But we have overlooked that. Not by choice so much, but just as the years moves on and the society change, we let those things slip by us. But God hasn't forgot. As I said, it's the fifth commandment. So Anna M. Jarvis first suggested the national observance of this annual day honoring all mothers because she had loved her own mother so dearly. At a memorial service for her mother on May 10th, 1908, Miss Jarvis gave a carnation, her mother's favorite flower, to each person who attended that memorial service. Within the next few years, the idea of a day to honor mothers gained popularity. And Mother's Day was observed in a number of large cities across the United States. But on May the 9th, 1914, by an act of Congress, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. He established the day as a time for public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our countries. And, you know, Mother's Day is not a spiritual holiday to observe. But Christians throughout the world, this day reflects our mothers and pay tribute to godly motherhood. So the sermon title today then, Who Should We Honor? Who should we honor? Sad to say, but we live in a society and a culture where honor is in most cases, is totally ignored. We see this even today in our country as we move into the primary election season. This is a time when political cartoons and editorials take the time to lash out at leaders in our country, using band of talk shows and discussing whose reputation they wish to destroy. As they dig up all the dirty mistakes and back life history that they can place on their opponents, Satan's style is to destroy. God is to honor. So So Satan is slowly but surely molding his attitude of dishonor and disrespect into our children. And the parents aren't aware of this in most cases because they are doing other things while the children are seated in front of the television and they're working, watching all of these, innocent cartoons. And if you never notice these little cartoons, they have a lot of violence in them. They have a lot of put down in them. They don't show any respect. But the parents let this happen. So Satan is happy about this because the little innocent cartoons is okay for these children. So he makes these parents believe this. But when you look into the depth and how subtle and the ways that Satan uses this society to dishonor the people here on earth with all kinds of ideas and subtleties. God is saying that Satan is using this time to instill in our children. Why? Because he doesn't want them to have the right respect for the elderly, for the motherhood of this country. Now, in Exodus chapter 20, you don't have to turn there, but it's the fifth commandment. Verse 12 says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." So God was very concerned about this part of motherhood. Now in Matthew chapter 15, and verse 4. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 4, Christ said, "For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death." So God is he's concerned about motherhood. Now in Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 9. "For anyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him." So the sincerity here in dishonoring our parents is dangerous. So it is very clear then from God's fifth commandment that we are to honor our parents. And God also adds that our days may be prolonged on the earth. So there's a blessing here that takes place when we honor this fifth commandment. And which tells us that through honoring our parents, there are certain blessings that God will bring our way. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Verse 16. "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." So we talk about honor, but what exactly is honor? The word honor, from the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible, gives this. It says, high respect, pay homage to, assigning value to. Then the Nelson Bible Dictionary says, to esteem and respect, to honor God, is to give Him reverence and homage, for God alone is worthy of our highest honor. So we know that we're not putting the mothers above and in front of God. We understand that. But God is just wanting us to understand that this is one of His commandments. And you remember the gentleman that approached Jesus Christ and asked Him what could he do that he could inherit eternal life. And Christ told him, keep the commandments. So it's easy, as we see, that we could really, maybe not willingly, but without thought, break this fifth commandment by not honoring our parents, as the Scripture says. Please turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Begin reading in verse 23. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 23. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and gladness are in His place. Through the Psalm, David gives praises and honor to God, who is worthy of all praises and honor. So these are the words that David said. So we know that we should honor God. We know that we should honor our parents as well. But who else should we honor? Is honor due everyone? So should we ask ourselves this question for sure? Should we put value or place honor on man or woman? Or should we honor God alone? So let's turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Verse 7 of Romans 13, verse 7. It says, render therefore to all their due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So we just don't stop there. It says honor. It seems to go further than just a few individuals. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32. You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear God. I am the Lord. I know you don't, some of you are very young, so you don't remember this, but I do. But I can remember when the elderly used to come into the room that, you know, the younger would get up and stand in reverence to, you know, if they were up in age, or they would get up and give them their seat. And you can notice on all of the transit that takes place in Chicago and New York and all those places, very few. Once in a while, you'll see someone and get on one of those transit buses that a young gentleman will get up and give a lady a seat. Very rare do you see that. What has happened to the honor that we used to have for mothers? What has happened to all of that? So honor according to the scriptures is very important to God. It is His fifth commandment, and He placed it there that we may never forget to show honor to our parents. So when it comes to honor, Jesus Christ, our perfect example in all things, even as He was suffering on the cross, in pain, near death, He had honor toward His mother. I don't know if you ever studied that part of the scripture or not. Hope you have, but there's a lot of value in that portion of the scripture. As we talk about honoring our parents, and you can envision Christ hanging there with a lot of pain and suffering, and still He was not thinking about Himself only, but He was thinking about His mother and someone taking care of His mother after His death. This is what went through His mind. And how do I know? Because this is what the Scriptures points out. Turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. John chapter 19, begin reading in verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother, and His mother's sister, Mary, and the wife of Clopas, Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciples whom He loved standing by, He said to His mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then He said to the disciples, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciples took her to His own home. So some have said that Jesus showed disrespect toward His mother by calling her woman instead of addressing her as mother. But that is not the case at all. That's not true. According to the manual Greek lexicon of the New Testament by G. Albert Smith, using the word woman to refer to a female was a term of respect and endearment. So it was not disrespect in him calling her woman, or addressing her as woman rather than mother. There was a cause for this. Now, Bullinger's campaign Bible notation for verse 26 refers the reader to John chapter 2 and verse 4, where Jesus also uses the term woman. So in John chapter 2 and verse 4, Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." So in the notes pertaining to this verse, it says woman is a respectful form or term to address. So Adam Clark's commentary on this verse makes an interesting comment as to why Jesus might have used the term woman. It states that He did so to possibly spare His mother's feelings as the very mention of her given her first born son was being brutally killed, though he was innocent would have brought more sorrow out of her heart. So again, rather than addressing her to her mother, he uses this, that not much pain could be injected in her thoughts at that time. Now, John Gill's expository of the entire Bible adds another interesting possibility as to why Jesus might have used the word woman rather than mother. Christ calls her not mother, but woman. But out of disrespect to her? Or no? Not at all. But partly that he might not raise or add strength to her passion by tempest, or speaking, and partly to conceal her from the mob, and lest she should be exposed to their rude insults. So you can imagine Christ hanging there and addressing her as mother and being ridiculed by the mob standing by. And you can imagine all the things that they probably would say. But just using woman certainly deferred them from that. Now in Luke chapter 2, in verse 7, you don't have to turn there, but it tells us that Jesus was Mary's firstborn son. Also Matthew chapter 1 and verse 25, and Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 through 49, Matthew chapter 13, verse 55 and 56. We have Mark chapter 3 and verse 31 through 35. And Luke chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. All of these chapters and books refer to Jesus' family, but none of them mention Joseph, his legal father. So we don't know this for sure, but it could be that Joseph had already died some years earlier, since Jesus was the oldest son. Don't know this, have no record of it. This is just something that we can ponder on. But the point is that he was not there at the cross when all the brutality and the suffering was taking place. Joseph wasn't there. We don't know where he was unless, like I said, maybe he had already died years earlier. But Christ, going back to Christ and his suffering there, still had his mother in mind. And since Jesus was the oldest son, it was his responsibility to ensure the care of his mother. This was a Jewish custom and part of honoring one's parents in according with the fifth commandment. So Jesus knew as he hung on the cross that his death was near. Although he was in severe pain and knew he was almost about to make the ultimate sacrifice according to his heavenly Father's plan, in spite of all the agony and pain he was going through, Jesus was concerned about his mother and the care for her after He was gone. So he made provisions for his mother by charging his disciple, giving his disciple, which was John, the instruction. You can see the terminology there when he said, "Behold, my mother," and then he turns to John and says the same thing, "Behold, your mother." So it's putting John in a position. This is my mother also. So he's saying in short terms, please take care of my mother. Honor, respect. So he made provision for his mother by charging of his disciples disciple whom he deeply loved, which we said was John. Now let's notice a few points as we go back to John chapter 19, verse 26 and 27. In verse 26, Jesus said to his mother, "Behold, behold your son." In verse 27, Jesus said to the disciples, "Disciple, behold your son." So it places all the responsibility then on John to take care of his mother. So, brethren, the meaning and significance of Jesus' statements here in John chapter 19 is that we are to love our parent and to provide for them as much as we physically are able to do. By doing so, we also show our love for Jesus and for God our Father. A lot of our members throughout, you know, the world, I'm sure they would honor the opportunity of having their mothers and fathers alive today. But for some, this is not so at this time. A lot of our mothers are neglected. Some are living by themselves. Some are in rest homes and that type of thing. And it's a sad thing, brethren, if you go. Sometimes you take a chance just to visit some of the rest home. There is a sadness there. And I used to visit my mother, and there was other ladies in the hallways who would be making statements. I don't know if they had a touch of Alzheimer's or not, I'm not sure, but they would say, "Have you seen my son? He's supposed to come see me today, but he hasn't got here." And I wonder how many of those never showed up at all. Sometimes our country, our society, places our parents, and just like, you know, one writer said, putting your parents out to pasture. That's a terrible terminology, but it's true in its analysis. Because we put our parents in these rest homes and in these places, and we forget about them. That's not what the fifth commandment is saying at all, brother. But we should honor, respect, and think about this situation, because it could be that in some time in the future, it could be you. It could be me. So we are living in a generation that is spoken of in Proverbs chapter 30. Let's turn there. Proverbs chapter 30. In verse 11, begin reading in verse 11 of Proverbs chapter 30. It says, "There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. And there is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. And there is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords and whose fangs are like knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men." Here we have the words written by Agar, who wrote about a generation plagued with social ills, such as the lack of respect for parents, self-righteousness, greed, selfishness, and all these generations exist in our society today. God is not pleased with these generations that have sprung up with no regard for their parent and the poor of the land. What has happened to the honor and respect God wants us to have toward our parents, toward others? Is it growing cold? Is it dying away? The answer is yes. And why is this true? Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 12. There is a generation that is pure in their own eyes and is not washed from its filthiness. See, this generation don't see anything that they are doing is wrong. They have settled in their own world, so to speak, and parenthood doesn't mean very much to them. Mom and Dad have raised me. Now I can do what I want to do. Mom and Dad is lonely. They're there at home by themselves. But do I call them? Do I check with them to see how they are doing? I have placed them in the rest home because they have this type of illness. But I just don't have time to go by and visit them to see how they are doing. Is this the attitude? Yes, it's the attitude of this generation that the Scriptures is talking about. Here is a generation that is displeasing to God. But this generation must repent from self-centeredness and become humble. You know, you can't have humbleness without repentance. Proverbs chapter 18. In Proverbs chapter 18, because we must repent from self-centeredness and become humble. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12 says, "Before destructions, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility." So before we can honor someone as we should, then we must have an attitude of humility. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 21. Proverbs 21, verse 21. "He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness and honor." So God places a lot of emphasis on motherhood and how they should be honored, along with the responsibility He has placed on each one. See, there is a responsibility on the mothers as well. The mother holds a special place in the hearts of those around her. For without her, none of us here today would be. God looks at that. It's a serious thing. We couldn't be in a physical form as an expression of the will of God to have human made in His own image. You know, the woman, the mother. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20, Adam, and says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." So in this verse, that the word mother is first mentioned in the Scriptures. The word Eve comes from the Hebrew word meaning to breathe and to live. So today's mothers has a great responsibility to do what God has required of us and to be teachers of the young. So let's turn to Titus chapter 2. Here we see the responsibility of the mother. Now, we had a responsibility of honoring the mother, but God also has placed responsibility on the mother to do some things. So Titus chapter 2, begin reading in verse 4, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. This is a responsibility that the mothers have. Verse 5, to be discreet, chaste homemakers, good obedient to their own husband, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So in these verses, the older women are to instruct and to teach and to train the younger women to be prudent, chaste, to manage their household well, to be obedient to their husbands. Now, all of this has faded, brother, and I'm saying it has faded in the way of teaching, because I see so many of the young generations, not putting down a young generation at all, but I'm just saying you can see the teaching that has been likened. Now, most of the young mothers marry, they don't know how to cook. Sorry. You men can go out to McDonald's or somewhere. But that is true. And I, and the women, you know, it used to be that the older women would teach the younger ladies when they were at home how to cook, how to iron. And, you know, I've experienced this in looking at things that I know about. Some of the young ladies cannot cook. They can't sew. They can't iron. There's a lot of things. But what has happened, the older women is not teaching the young. It's just the facts of life. Now, this is not what God said to do. In 1 Thessalonians, because God has instructed the younger women to be devoted to their husbands and their children, to be prudent, chaste, to manage their household well, to be obedient to their husbands. This is what God has asked them to do. Now, in regards to this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, just shows again how important a mother is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherished her own children. Now, Paul was talking to the church here, of course, but he was making a point that they, as ministers, were a mother nourishing apostles that came by to nurture the children, which was the church. There is great comfort, rest, and security in a mother's embrace. And, you know, you've seen this too. Sometimes the young child is crying with no end. And the mother can come and take that child and embrace him in her bosom, and immediately it stops. Why? Because the tenderness of the mother is there. Not that the father don't have it, but he just don't have it to the extent of the mother. So in Isaiah chapter 66, again, God mentions this. In Isaiah chapter 66 in verse 13. Isaiah chapter 66 in verse 13. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Now, here again, this is the assurance of God comforting his people in time of distress and turmoil. But he uses, you know, as one whom his mother comforts. So those who put their trust in God will be comforted. Many times in our society, the mother trying to raise, and this again, I have to sure take sides with the mother all the way here, 100%. When the mother's trying to raise their children, and most of the time, you know, they're doing this under stress and strain. Her children, as a result of broken marriages, mothers who have children out of wedlock and end up in life with a lot of difficulties. But the good news is all of these problems, brethren, can be solved under repentance to God. In 1 Corinthians, now let's go to 2 Corinthians first. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, because God will give us comfort because He is the comforter. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation, but we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So the Christian mother must never underestimate their calling. Never underestimate their responsibility. It's extremely difficult, challenge, and tiring. It's a calling. But God has given principles in His Word to guide the mothers as they navigate through this negative society that is governed by Satan. So for the remainder of the time that I have left in the sermon, I want to show what God expects in the way of honoring the wife, the mother of our children, and the husband's responsibility to this. Those of us who are parents should understand how easy it is to honor someone who lives an honorable life. It certainly is easy to honor the father and the mother openly when they respect each other. And I'm talking about what the young children are observing. If they can see mom and dad that are getting along very good together and always loving, that child will be easy taught the way of honor, because that's what he sees. That's what he is used to. Not the fighting and the cursing and sometimes packing up and leaving and coming back. All of these types of things that exist in our society, they are there. And it's hard for the children. And we wonder what's happening to our children. Well, the parent sometime, brethren, brings on a lot of these things. And we need to go back to the vows that we make in front of God in marriage. See what those vows say. Go over them again. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3. Because we're going back to the husbands here. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. 1 Peter 3 verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife, and being the weaker vessel, and as heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. I truly believe this. The Bible said it. I believe it. I believe sometimes, you know, we don't do the things that we should do, and when we get out on our knees, you know, our prayers are not heard. They're hindered. That's what, because, you know, We just haven't given the honor to the mother here. It's plain to see. The husband should give his wife the impression that she is the finest in the whole world. We ought to say that sometimes. We notice that Apostle Peter links this birth with our salvation and relationship with God. It is that important to God, brother. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. Verse 28 and 29. So it's saying if we do these things, then in verse 28 it says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. They're not fighting. They're not arguing. But they're showing a good atmosphere for their children. In verse 29, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. So again, the husband is praising the wife. Husbands need to ask themselves, when was the last time I told my wife she was the best? We as men, if we desire to desire an excellent wife, then we must treat her like she already is the best and excellent wife. And it is easy sometimes for the man to think that he is an expert on finding fault and discovering what was not done right. We think that we are helping our mate to be a better wife, but constantly pointing out these little tidbit things, yet just the opposite happens. We as husbands must try to find ways to praise, honor, encourage, and promote the growth and joy in the hearts of our wives. And go back and study the fifth commandment. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25, again reading in verse 25 of Ephesians 5, says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or if any such thing, that she should be holy without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So God has given the wives certain responsibilities to honoring their husbands as well. So hear what God has says about this. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Begin reading in verse 5. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with terror. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Giving thanks, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And then verse 22 says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is a savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. So when children see mom honoring dad and dad praising and honoring mom, they in turn find it so much easier to honor them as father and mother. And beyond those brethren, this powerful example teaches them how they should conduct themselves when eventually they get married. They have a good foundation. They have seen all these good things, the good atmosphere that mom and dad has done while they was being raised. Now they get married, they can carry on this same type of attitude. Apostle Paul also inspired by God to give young Timothy instructions as to showing honor toward the elderly and especially the widows. 1 Timothy. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. Do not rebuke an older man. Now we see a lot of this in our society today, where the young, these street gangs and so forth, brings a lot of disrespect to older people, and it's dangerous in some of these places for the older person to even put his head outside the door because there's someone there. This want to rebuke. But God said, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father and young men as brothers. In verse 2, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with all purity. In verse 3, it says, honor widows who are truly widows. Now, we're held responsible. We are held responsible for a lot of things, brethren, that we're not doing. It's all clear. To the elder people, we must show affection and respect. An older man is to be treated as a father, an older woman like a mother. In verse 4, but if any widow has children, or grandchildren, let them first learn to show pity at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now, this is what we said earlier, that, you know, the young children seem, once they grow up, they run off and leave the parent there to fend for themselves. And this is what is so hard to see how this can happen. But it's true. God says, you know, that they are held responsible for the pity at home to repay their parents. Now, verse 8 of this same chapter says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for the house, for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worth than an unbeliever. Unbeliever. And I think that one of the translations says an infidel. So when we obey God's command to honor all people, we are following our heavenly King and honoring Him. And when we do this, what happens? When we do this, well, Jesus gives us the answer in John. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Verse 26. John chapter 12, verse 26. Christ says, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." So God the Father actually honors those that follow God's way of life. The Bible teaches that true honor is found in God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And since we are created in His image, this should be our goal always, to honor God in all that we do. So the final scripture, John chapter 15. A few pages over. Let's see, if we do these things, this is what Christ tells us in John chapter 15 and verse 8. It says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples." So, brethren, let's follow the scriptures in honoring our parents and our mothers, which is the day set aside for tomorrow. And it doesn't have to be the close, inward kindred. You may have an aunt. You may have a cousin somewhere that it would be nice just to call them. They are a mother. But what I'm saying, honor and respect the motherhood, because this is pleasing with God, His fifth commandment.